Oh, Radio 1 91 FM podcast? Nice one.
Here are the R1 News at 1 headlines.
This is the R1 News Bulletin for Wednesday, 15th of May. I'm Celia.
And I'm Tristan.
In student news, on Sunday, May the 5th, the Red Bull Global Charity event Wings for Life took place. 30 students from Otago Uni Ski and Canoe Club showed up to kick off the run at 11 p.m, the exact same time as all other participants around the world. The runners are expected to go as far as they can before being chased by a virtual catcher car through the app, with one participant stating she got mowed down after a measly 12 kilometres, Critic reports. With 100% of entry fees going towards spinal cord injury research, the students raised a total of $700 for the cause, with some running a half marathon before 1 a.m. on Monday morning.
Errors in the finance paper midterm exams have prompted the business school to ensure the exams are mistake-free in the future. Griffin Powell of Critic to Arohi reports. Critic to Arohi received multiple reports of errors in the exam or midterms of a 100-level finance paper, a 200-level finance paper, and two 100-level business papers. The two finance papers also had errors in each of the second semester exams, students have claimed to Critic, with Fink 206 receiving three corrections within its two-hour exam slot. Speaking to Critic, Pro-Vice-Chancellor of the Otago Business School, Mary Tyne, says she'd like to reassure students that there is a peer review process in place so papers are double-checked for accuracy prior to examinations. Further action the business school will be taking include triple-checking all exams in large core papers and requesting that each head of department receives a report of any exam issues at the end of the exam period.
In Aotearoa news, in celebration of independent writers and the Aotearoa literacy community, Francis Pavlatich from Evening Books is running a festival called Small Press Fest. The three-day festival will take place from the 16th to the 18th of August as an opportunity for writers, creators, designers, artists and publishers operating outside of the conventional publishing industry to collaborate, share ideas and participate in workshops together. The event is taking place at Yours, Evening Books and Pioneer Women's Hall and will feature a lineup of names such as Dead Bird Books, Tender Press, Starling Mag, among many others. If this sounds like you, book it in your calendar, Small Press Fest, on the 16th to 18th of August. You don't want to miss it.
In national news, Aotearoa's top scientists have met to discuss our largest fault, the Hikarangi Subduction Zone. Early this week, scientists met at Te Papa for Te Tai Whanake, growing a stronger, more resilient Aotearoa, a government-funded conference presenting our country's latest disaster risk, resilience and recovery science. During a session on catastrophic risk, the National Emergency Management Agency, or NEMA, detailed its work over the past 18 months using a 9.1 Hikarangi earthquake and tsunami as its planning scenario. Lauren Crimp of RNZ reports, this scenario projects that even if the majority of people can evacuate, more than 22,000 people would die, 26,000 people would be injured, 400,000 people displaced, and 30,000 homes destroyed or damaged. NEMA's chief advisor, Sarah Holland, says that such a catastrophic event on the Hikarangi or the Alpine Fault can be expected in either our or our next generation's lifetime. These conferences present opportunities to prepare for the worst of the worst disaster scenarios. Based on this, Hikarangi earthquake scenario NEMA is working on a catastrophic event handbook that they can apply to any disaster, bringing together 50 organizations and giving an idea of international assistance we may need.
Ngāti Toa led a hikoi from the Wellington train station to Parliament this afternoon, as reported by RNZ, to make clear its opposition to the Coalition's fast-track bill. According to RNZ, hundreds of people had gathered on the forecourt met by Crown Ministers Chris Bishop and Tama Pōtaka, as well as MPs from Labour, the Greens and Te Pāti Māori. The crowd performed the Kamati Haka and saw the government representatives receive a box of submissions in opposition to the fast-track legislation. Te Runanga o Toa Rangatira Chief Executive Helmut Maldik told MPs his community would organise it if its fast-track consents compromised the environment, commenting, "Don't leave your home and come to our home and make the mess your predecessors made." Ngāti Toa comments that he would not allow the coalition government to degrade its whenua, moana or awa for the purpose of urban development. The minister responsible for RMA reform, Chris Bishop, said he heard the challenge, quoting, "We hear the challenge, we hear the call that's been laid down this afternoon. I hear what they're saying and we will continue to meet with them." He adds, "We're open to constructive, sensible changes to the bill to ameliorate some of the concerns that Ngāti Toa Rangatira and others have." Māori Crown Relations Minister Tama Potaka said he thought the protest was very respectful and a responsible way to engage on the issue, saying that there are many ways to engage in democratic institutions, and this one was a very respectful one, and that today was a silent protest that aligns with historical engagements relating to notions of peaceful protest.
This has been the R1 News Bulletin for Wednesday, the 15th of May. Today's bulletin was written by Celia Ward, Tristan Serrano, and Jemima Lorimer, and read to you by Celia Ward and Tristan Serrano.
Those were the headlines for today on R1 News at 1. Catch up on previous R1 News wherever you get your podcasts or head to r1.co.nz/news.
You've chosen the Radio 1 91 FM podcast, a fine choice indeed. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz and wherever quality podcasts hang out.